This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. And of course, today we have weekend programming for you. Here's what we have lined up for you. We're going to start things off in just a few moments with Mailbox and Pavla Horáková answering your questions and posting some of your comments if you're nice. No, even if you're not nice, it doesn't. You'll find that in today's Mailbox. Plus, you'll find out who this month's mystery person was. The answer to the mystery person quiz just ahead. That'll be followed by our long-running series, our very popular series, Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech through song lyrics. And Ruth Frankova will be looking at the expression Šplouchám u namaják. We're going to get a little bit nuts. Šplouchám u namaják, I guess you could translate that as he's sort of wet in the lighthouse, something like that. And we're going to round things up with Czech Life. That's also with Ruth. And the focus there this week is urban gardening. So that's all ahead. Let's get started straight away. Mailbox, Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox, Radio Prague's Listener's Letters program. Thank you very much for your feedback, including reception reports. Just a reminder, our broadcasts are available on the internet, where you can either listen to the whole half-hour transmissions, or you can choose individual programs. You can also tune in to Radio Prague via satellite in Europe, Africa and Asia and the Pacific on the WRN English channel 5 times a day. The current broadcasting schedule is available on our website. Radio Prague's transmissions are also rebroadcast by a number of shortwave stations, among them Radio Miami International. Whichever way you prefer to listen to our broadcasts, your reception reports will be verified by one of our 8 QSL cards, this year featuring natural monuments of the Czech Republic. We received quite an unusual query from Richard P. Robinette from the United States.
My wife, a German citizen, born on February 1944 in Prague in a hospital on Beethovenstrasse, has always been curious about where Beethovenstrasse is located. The name has probably been changed. We couldn't find it when we were in Prague. We appreciate any information you could give us.
But later he corrected his query.
It turned out that my wife made a mistake about the hospital location. It was Professor Urban Sanatorium on Radetzky Strasse. Thanks again for your response.
The maternity hospital was located in a villa in the residential district of Bubenec. It was in operation there until the mid-1980s, when it was closed down. Instead of the Czech-born Austrian general Josef Radetzky, the street is now called after the US President Franklin D. Roosevelt. The powers that be in this country have a habit of changing street names as regimes come and go. So the former Beethovenstrasse in Prague is today's Opletalova. It was named after Jan Opletal, a medical student killed by the Nazis during a demonstration in 1939. And now on to our monthly quiz, where I ask you to find out the names of outstanding personalities of Czech origin. This time,
the answer to the August quiz is František Janáček. I did not know much about Jawa motorcycles. I'm sorry.
Writes Hisanobu Ota from Japan. And Jahangir Alam Manto from Bangladesh adds,
the Jawa motorcycle is well known for its design, style, clarity and uniqueness. Jawa's first two letters represent the name of its founder, František Janáček. He was not only a successful founder, owner and engineer of Jawa, but also a renowned Czech inventor and patent designer. As for his personal life, there was an interesting story. While riding a bike to work in Holland, he collided with a car. The driver took him into his home, and his daughter nursed him, and later he married her. Baroness Carolina Streck van Linschoten and František Janáček had one son, who was also a pioneer in Czech history.
Hamad Kiani from Pakistan writes,
František Janáček founded the Jawa Motorcycle Company in 1929. He bought the motorcycle division of Wanderer in 1929. The name Jawa was established by concatenating the first letters of Janáček and Wanderer.
Hans Werner Lolicke from Denmark noted,
František Janáček invented a hand grenade named after him, but luckily he was more known for developing the Yawa motorbike.
Radhakrishna Pillai from India used to listen to Radio Prague shortwave programs many years ago and has now returned to our station.
Yawa is one of the most famous motorcycle production companies in the world and was established by František Janáček in 1929 in Prague. He was the designer, the founder of the production of Yawa motorcycle. Janáček was born on January 23, 1878 in Kláštěr nad Děginou in East Bohemia. He studied at the Prague Technical School and then moved to Berlin College of Engineering in Germany. After graduation, he returned to Prague and worked as a designer at the Kolben Company. In 1901, the company sent him to their new factory in the Netherlands. In 1905, he returned to Prague. Proceeds of several patents enabled him to continue inventing, and in 1908, he set up his own machine laboratory. In 1927, he turned a former armament factory into a motorcycle manufacturing company. The new company was named Yawa in 1929. A compound of the first letters of Janáček and Wanderer. For his outstanding service in 1938, he received an honorary doctorate in engineering. František Janáček died on June 4, 1941, in Prague.
Jayanta Chakrabarty from India went into considerable depth, as usual.
Most people remember Janáček as the founder of the renowned Yawa Motorcycle Company, but he is also credited with 60 industrial patents, which include improved hand grenade, sewing machine, arc lamp, and various industrial tools and instruments. The Janáček hand grenade became the standard hand grenade of the Czechoslovak army. The sleepy village of Týnec was transformed into a vibrant industrial center, famous for modern aluminium and cast iron foundry, thanks to the effort of Janáček. A prolific designer and businessman with a vision, he used his knowledge of engineering and expertise to produce motorcycles in factory mass production technique, which was a new concept in the 1930s. Thus, the Czech-made Yawa two-stroke engine motorcycle with advanced lightweight features like the shift drive and steel frame became the most popular motorcycle in the world. When the Germans invaded Czechoslovakia, his machine laboratory and production center, possessing high technology and skilled labor, was used to produce German aircraft engines and generators. However, being a true patriot, Janáček was unable to come to terms with the occupying German forces and worked in secret on his innovative ideas.
Colin Law from New Zealand sent in another of his thoroughly researched answers.
After the Nazi invasion of the Sudetenland threatened the Janáček family estates, František Karel visited Britain regularly to try and interest the British government in his latest design for an anti-tank gun. During one such trip, František Karel learned that Prague had fallen, and a few hours before the Nazis marched in, George Patchett had thrown the only two prototypes of the new weapon over the wall of the British Embassy. The prototypes were successfully smuggled to Britain inside a sofa. František Janáček was perhaps the only person back in Prague to know about this exploit, and although he was dying of cancer, it must have been some comfort to know his son was working against the German invaders.
And finally, Mary Lou Krennick from Texas, USA, wrote,
during World War II, the Nazis took over his factory to produce German aircraft engines and generators. Janáček continued to work in secret on the development of single-cylinder two-stroke motorcycles and restarted production after the war. Another invention of Janáček's was the Little John adapter, a device that could be fitted onto the British QF-2 pounder anti-tank gun. It extended the service life of the two-pounder during World War II by converting it to squeeze-bore operation. Little John was the anglicization of Janáček's name.
Thank you very much for your answers. I always enjoy reading them and learning new details about the respective mystery persons. Alas, there can only be one winner each month, and this time our prize goes to Gregory Lagat from Kenya. Congratulations, and we do hope the postal services will be more reliable this time than when we tried to mail a parcel to New Zealand and failed twice. In September's quiz, we'd like you to tell us the name of the Austrian businessman and founder of a grocery retail and coffee empire named after him. He was born in 1824 in the West Bohemian town of Kraslice. We expect your answers at the usual address, english@radio.cz, by October the 1st. Until then, we'll be looking forward to your questions, comments and reception reports. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Pavla Horáková, as always, with Mailbox. And Soundcheck is next, and for that, here's Ruth Franková.
Hello and welcome to a fresh edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the legendary rock group Hudba Praha, and the phrase to listen out for is Šplouchá mu na maják, which is repeated several times in the song's chorus. The phrase Šplouchá mu na maják literally means it's splashing on his lighthouse. It is used to describe that someone has gone crazy, in other words, a sandwich short of a picnic. The singer in the chorus actually says Šplouchá a cáká mu na maják. Cákat is just another word for šplouchat. When describing that a person is mad, you can also say that he is cáklý, in other words, he is splashed. Czech also uses the term vyšplouchnout, literally to splash someone out, which means to let someone down. Although the Czech Republic has no sea, it doesn't prevent people from using the word in various idioms. To express that there is very little of something, we use the phrase kapka v moři, or a drop in the ocean, just like the English speakers do. On the other end of the scale, we use the word moře, or sea, to express a large quantity, such as moře lidí, which means loads of people. To say that someone has gone abroad, overseas, we use the phrase být za mořem, to be behind the sea. Czech also frequently uses the word vlna or wave. The phrase dělat vlny or to make waves means, just like in English, to make trouble. But unlike English, we can use the verb vlnit se to wave, not only when describing the undulating sea, but also the movements of a dancing person. And that's it for today's edition of Soundcheck. Zůstaňte na vlnách or do stay on the waves. And until next time, naschledanou.
Ruth Franková with Soundcheck. And of course, you can have another listen to that or look it up on the web to have a listen. And our website, radio.cz, is the address to visit. Otherwise, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's show, you can do so easily by writing to english@radio.cz. Radio Prague is also on Facebook and Twitter, so you can take part in a discussion there or sign up for a Twitter account. Now, though, we're going to turn to our final feature for this day, which is Czech life, and that's also with Ruth Franková.
3 years after the opening of the first community garden in Prague, the idea of growing plants in the city seems to have put down firm roots and is quickly spreading all over the country, with an increasing number of Czechs taking to urban gardening. The country's first community urban garden, Prazelenina, opened in the Prague district of Holešovice in the year 2011. The little island of greenery, hidden among apartment buildings and bustling streets, became a favorite meeting point for the local community. Indeed, its founder Matěj Petránek says that Prazelenina is not about cultivating plants, but rather good relations. I visited the community garden to talk to one of its managers, Marcela Straková, and to ask her how exactly it works.
Once we open the season, which is usually mid-April, you either enroll via the internet, we have got a registration form, and then you just come here and you pay the deposit and the fee for gardening that we charge. And then you just start, which means filling the bag with the soil and establishing your own allotment that you take care of. We provide water, we provide all the equipment that you need, like gardening equipment. We also have some additional activities, so you can use the garden from the mid-April until the end of October.
Prazelenina is open every day from 3 to 10, apart from allotments, which at this part of the year feature all kinds of vegetables from tomatoes and courgettes to squashes and potatoes. There is also a cafe which offers drinks and refreshments. Various events also take place in the garden. When I visit, a painting course for kids is just underway and the place is swarming with people. Unlike in the first year of its existence, when people were paid to work in the garden, Prazelenina is now run entirely by a team of volunteers, something Marcela Straková is very proud of.
I had the ambition last year to make this group of people larger and to educate a team of volunteers, because for the first 2 years people who worked on the garden didn't work on volunteering basis, but they got paid. And my ambition was to establish the team that would be motivated enough, besides their jobs and their other duties they have got, to stay with the project and to devote their free time to it. And there has been a great team of 29 people. They come here on a regular basis. They take shifts and they help one another. And I think it's kind of a miracle, actually, because to have such thing that people are motivated and do things without being paid, and they do it with like sheer enthusiasm that you can see behind it. I think that there is nothing more than that.
In the late sunny afternoon, people are standing on their miniature fields having a drink and chatting. I ask one of the growers, Pavel, to show me his patch of land.
This is our 1 square meter.
What are you growing there?
I'm growing with my wife, I have to say. I'm growing strawberries, then some tomatoes, salads and peas. This season we have had quite a bad result.
Why is that?
I think because we take it more seriously than we should, maybe. We took it less serious last year, so we are under the pressure to have some results. No, just kidding. Yeah.
How often do you come here?
Twice a week, roughly. Sometimes daily, sometimes once in 3 days, just to meet the friends and to water the plants.
So do you live somewhere around the corner?
In the neighborhood, just next door, I would say.
Is this your first year here in Prazelenina?
No. We started 3 years ago.
Why do you come here? What do you like about this place?
Oh, we are a community garden. So for us, it was initially just a point of meeting with our friends, and we loved the idea. So we decided just to join, and now we are actually in the association. We pay for the soil here, and we also make our decision with our friends. For us, it's more socializing than growing the plants, for sure.
With Prazelenina clearly becoming very successful, I wonder whether they have thought about extending their project. But Marcela Straková says it is not their ambition to make it very public.
It's a community project and it's designed for this local community of people. There are some people that don't grow, and actually the place became very popular, so a lot of people want to visit the place, but we still want to keep it on community basis. It's not our ambition to make like very public project because it's not a public spot. It's open to public and everybody is welcome to join us, but we make sure that everybody knows what the project is about.
What's the main idea behind Prazelenina?
Well, to grow vegetables and to be together for people. Sometimes growing, it's not the main activity that people come here to do. People just want to do something together. And gardening is like the main thing we do. But I think community thing and gathering goes in hand with that.
Unlike Prazelenina, another community garden in Prague called Kokoza has more ambitions. Its founders Lucie Lankašová and Kristina Regalová were looking for something they could do together to earn a living and do something meaningful at the same time. They decided to combine their experience with social work and ecology and established a community garden which employs disabled people. They are currently running two gardens and plan to launch a composting device by the end of this year. I asked Kristina Regalová to tell me more about their plans.
Téma kompostování je naše velké téma.
Composting is a big theme for us. We want to offer people the possibility to sort waste. We will use bio-waste from their kitchens and turn it into compost that will be used in the city garden or sold to people. Our employees will gather the waste using bicycles so they can reach even the densely populated housing estates. Some 40% of household waste consists of bio-waste, and the issue has never really been addressed. It is a serious problem, and we want to do something about it.
Apart from their current projects, Kokoza also organizes seminars and workshops for people who want to start gardening or to establish a community garden of their own. Their website also provides a map of all existing community gardens in the country. Although the beginnings were not easy and the project still hardly makes profit, Kristina Regalová says that the attitude of politicians is turning in their favor.
Teď je to mnohem snazší, než to bylo před 3 lety, když jsme se vůbec do toho tady jako pustili.
It is much easier nowadays than it was 3 years ago when we started the project of community garden along with Prazelenina. It was something new and politicians were afraid because they didn't understand it and didn't know what to expect. But their attitude has changed completely from suspicion to interest. Nowadays they actually address us themselves.
Začal být zájem a dneska nás už sami oslovují třeba ke spolupráci.
But what if you don't live round the corner from a community garden or you don't have the time to look after a patch of land, but you would still like to do some gardening? Anita Blahušová offers a solution in her book, which has just recently been published. It is called Zahrádka v květináči, or Garden in a Pot.
You can call it pot gardening or container gardening, or sometimes they even call it windowsill gardening, which I think expresses the best, the basic idea behind it. Even if you don't have balcony, you have no terrace, you have no roof where you can grow vegetables or flowers, but you always have a window. So it means that you always have a windowsill. And there you can place even small pots, fill it with the soil, and then you can start. With a little bit of creativity and enthusiasm, everything is possible.
How did you yourself start with container gardening or windowsill gardening?
I grew up in a small town and then I moved to Prague to study. And afterwards, after the university, I studied economics. Czech Republic joined the European Union. So I moved to Brussels and worked for the European institutions. And I was not in a touch with the nature. I realized that there were days where I was outside just for 15 minutes and I needed some kind of touch with something living, something that grows. Plus, Belgium and Great Britain, these countries are different. Maybe it's the climate because it's rainy and, it's better for plants, I would say, because everything grows more quickly. And so almost everyone was gardening there. Here, gardening, it's more or less for, I don't want to say old people, but sometimes it is like that. You don't see it as adrenaline, you don't see it as something challenging or something creative. But it is.
Do you think that it is changing now in the Czech Republic?
It is indeed. You see all these young families and young moms that try to grow for their kids healthy vegetables. And there is great boom about cooking, all the cooking shows and recipes and stuff. And if you cook, you start to grow.
What would you tell people who have never gardened before and now they want to start with container gardening? What's the best way to start?
I would say start with herbs, because they can survive everything, almost everything. Plus, you can use them while cooking. The smell is beautiful. Sometimes they even flower, and they are resistant against dryness. Even if you forget to water them for 2-3 days or even a week, they survive. So I would say start with herbs.
What's the best thing about windowsill gardening?
You get in touch with the seasons changing, all the nature stuff that we are really detached from, I would say. And it's calming, it's reassuring, it takes your stress away. It's really rewarding, I would say.
Anita Blahušová ends that edition of Czech Life, brought to you by Ruth Franková. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for in today's program. Be sure to join us again next time and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you.